Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm John Cook, and I'm joined today by George Goncalves, MUFG's head of U.S. macro strategy. It's Tuesday, November 1st, 2022. Welcome back to the podcast, George.
Great to be on, as always.
Yeah, good to have you, and plenty to speak about, I would say, kind of as always. This past week, markets have been volatile. Again, this is nothing new. It's 2022. It's the year of everything, including volatility. But at the same time, it's been kind of a risk-on volatility. You know, stocks, as example, did great in October. We are now sitting here in November, which is crazy. I can't believe the year's almost done. And it is also one of the busiest weeks in terms of macro stimuli that I can remember. So I guess the question is, what are your thoughts here, specifically, you know, as it pertains to valuations for rate product, credit product, and equities?
Yeah, no, the year is almost done, and what a year we've had. And this, you know, sort of good vol that we're potentially experiencing, you know, I think it still links back to an earlier concept that we've had discussed in another podcast about just this bearish exhaustion and how much selling pressure and selling power is there in the marketplace at any given moment. And it's clear that the move and the impact of the really terrible end of quarter September 30th move, it left a good starting point for risk assets to outperform from that point forward. So, you know, October putting in one of the best Octobers in history, especially for the stock market and the Dow, for example. And then, you know, you've had less clear of a move in credit products, although high yield, you know, being a, you know, intermediary place between investment grade credit and equities, has seen spreads tighten. But rates, for the most part, still have grinded higher, although we're off the highs when it comes to long-term rates. We did get a pretty big move in 30-year rates above, you know, 4.25, and a big move in the 10-year, and now we're, you know, closer to the 4% type level. I think, you know, at this stage, the comfort has been in fixed income to stay defensive and to be, you know, buying slowly the front end of the curve, both in treasuries and or IG high quality names, just because it's just, you know, rates have been grinding higher. And I think this, you know, this kind of averaging into higher yielding fixed income in the front end that has less duration risk has been what people have been comfortable with on average, although the curves have flattened. And from a kind of curve perspective, you know, it's clearly, you know, showing that the Fed is not done yet. But I do think that we're at a, you know, tricky spot, especially, you know, given what we're going to just, you know, the next discussion point around the Fed. I think that, you know, the Fed and a number of other key macro events that lie in November, it could really, you know, call into question the longevity or the sustainability of this sort of quasi melt up that's happened, really from the really weak period that we went through coming into the third quarter. So I think that, you know, markets have priced in basically kind of sum things up. You know, priced in a lot of good news, and the idea of this kind of Fed pivot, you know, the third time's a charm. What if it's not, and the Fed really doesn't give enough specifics on the pivot? I think a lot of this is, you know, already priced into risk assets, and the rates market is a little bit much more evenly balanced.
And that's a great segue into my next question. So as a reminder for our listeners, we are recording this podcast on Tuesday, November 20th, a day before the conclusion of the November FOMC meeting. George, you released your latest views on the Fed in your October Macro to Markets Monthly. Let's go through what you're expecting at tomorrow's FOMC meeting, as well as the risks to your base case scenario.
No, absolutely, John. So like for us, I mean, I think really, you know, the Fed meeting in November really comes down to incentives and the objective of what the Fed is trying to do. And I still, you know, wholeheartedly believe that they're still aiming to get the inflation issue under control. And so in our view, we think it's too early for them to dial it back or to be specific about how they're going to be eventually ending this tightening cycle. And it's probably better off, you know, to push things out if you need to offer some guidance, maybe at the December meeting or at the first meeting of 2023, after a year of 2022 being a massive front loading of hikes and the start of quantitative tightening, I think, you know, holding off on it, it makes more sense. It gets more bang for your buck. And so I to kind of, you know, be very blunt, I don't think the Fed is going to do what the Bank of Canada did the week prior when they hiked less than what was priced into the markets. I think the Fed has been very transparent. Markets expecting 75 basis points. It's priced in. I think they're going to deliver the 75. So the idea that they would be uber dovish is, I think, a non-starter. Second, Chair Powell probably will still kick off the press conference by stating that the Fed is seriously committed to restoring price stability. And so, you know, as we kind of, you know, do play by play for tomorrow's meeting and what the markets might do, I mean, the combination of the statement and the opening remarks from Chair Powell might come across as hawkish, especially for a market that is hoping and praying that they're going to be pivoting and dialing back on the hawkishness. I still think that, yeah, after having had a rough start and being viewed as behind the curve, now the Fed is, you know, on the curve or ahead of the curve in many ways, and, you know, regaining this inflation fighting street credibility, I don't think they're just going to flip flop at this point and risk losing this credibility on inflation. Nor does kind of getting, again, wishy-washy at this stage, you know, help overall the outlook, because it might actually increase volatility if they were to deviate from their, you know, recent messaging. So I think the markets are too hopeful and wishful that, you know, tomorrow we're going to see a dovish 75 basis point type hike. I think if anything, it's more of a neutral to slightly hawkish, because people are set up for this. Markets trade as if they're set up for a dovish sort of outcome. If you look at the relative performance of the S&P, for example, going into the Fed meetings, this performance of the last 8 to 9 days looks similar to what we saw during the July meeting, which was in the midst of the summer rally, which continued into August. I think, you know, people are trying to set up that way also in high yield and a little bit less so in rates. I think the disappointment tomorrow won't be so much in rates. It'll probably be more so in the risk asset side. That's the base case in our view. We're wrong, obviously, if, you know, both either through the body language of Chair Powell or specific questions that they may be asked come across as if they're going to be discussing the pace or the end point for when they're going to finish this tightening cycle. You know, if he sounds too clinical that they're almost done and that comes across like what the Bank of Canada did, then sure, then maybe markets do have further room to run here. But from our point of view, the risk reward doesn't seem right considering how much has already been priced in beforehand. And then there's actually the risk of what if he's actually even like hawkish or even more hawkish with the benefit of saying that, look, we don't know what the end point is. And if he keeps it ambiguous on the maybe data dependent is not necessarily going to be viewed as dovish, because if they don't know what the end point is for rates, and if he makes the case that we believe the relative hikes as well as any future hikes are necessary in order to really tighten financial conditions, you know, that could be a shot across the bow to the market, the risk markets, because financial conditions have actually eased since the last Fed meeting. So I think all of those things combined makes me feel like, you know, leaning towards neutral, hawkish-ish type Fed meeting, which will be a disappointment for most markets.
Okay. All right. So to summarize, really too early for the Fed to dial things back. And you do expect, you know, given at the very least markets sort of market trades as if it's sort of reading the tea leaves dovishly. So net on balance, look out for a potentially more hawkish than price scenario. Risk scenario being, you know, he is either in perhaps inadvertently too dovish, or that his remarks come across as very, very hawkish. George, that was a spectacular preview. But I would really encourage our listeners to check out your most recent Macro to Markets Monthly entitled FOMO Horror Show. There's all the good stuff that George went over just now, as well as a little bit more of an opportunity to go into detail for tomorrow's FOMC meeting. And again, if you are not receiving George's strategy reports, please do feel free to get in contact with him directly. Great stuff as always. Thanks, George.
Thank you, John.
And thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.